Hi, hope you've been having a good week. We're getting together today to talk about summer vacation in Chinuch. This shiur is dedicated to Rachel Leah, Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. You know, you should step back and think a minute every so often. I don't know who she was, I don't know who Rav Chaim Tzvi is. But they've done a great chesed to an enormous amount of people who gain from these shiurim. Let's hope she has a true aliyah for her neshama now, as always. Summer. So summer vacation is a time in which there are a lot of possibilities. So I'm going to talk about different things, but just by way of preface, it's long. Even in Eretz Yisrael, where the boys' summer vacation is only 3 weeks, it's long. The boys aren't used to unstructured time. Certainly in America, where the summer vacation is months, unstructured time is a challenge. So what people do is that they create structure. So realize that there are only two directions this could go, either up or down. Only the angels are called omdim. They stay in one place. Humans go up or down. There are enormous possibilities for forward movement in the summer, but what appears to be just vegging out and not moving down usually isn't that at all. It's usually moving down. And many teachers have told me that so much of what's taught during the year is totally lost in the summer, that it's a tragedy. So it's not just ideas and information that are forgotten, which is also an issue, but every place where you take the kids, where you try to move them somewhere, can get lost. So finding the right structure is an enormous challenge. So with that said, we're going to go through it stage by stage. So of course, we're not going to talk about early childhood, because the little guys are always on vacation. Their lives are one big vacation. So let's begin by talking about early childhood, but from 4 to 7. So these children are in kindergarten throughout the year or in the early grades of school. They're used to a day that has a defined beginning, a defined end, and planned activities. Now, oftentimes these kids are the siblings of little kids. So their vacation poses an enormous, enormous challenge to their parents. Because even if the mother would like to give them a highly structured day, if she's taking care of the baby and the baby, this is going to be very, very difficult. So as Rav Tzvi Meyer says, before every holiday, the ikar is di chachone. The main thing is being prepared. So set goals. What do you really want your little kid to get out of this summer? So here are some possible goals. You may want to acquaint him with some relatives who he doesn't know so well because he hasn't seen them during the year. You may want him to draw closer to you because maybe he has more time to be home. You may want to give him a little bit more creativity and attention as something that you could flow with. But have some sort of a goal. What do you want your child to gain? And in the back of your mind, realize that if you don't have a plan, you don't stay on hold. There is some level of disintegration, which is why at the end of the summer, most parents are like this. When's school starting? Okay, there's a reason for this. So let's talk about what some realistic plans are. So if at all possible, it's good to plan an outing at least once a week. I'm talking about if you don't have children in a framework. I'll talk about various frameworks afterwards. So the outing could be a picnic. The outing could be the beach. In Israel, that is where there's a separate beach. A swimming pool. At least once a week, an outing. So the reason why an outing is important is both because kids get cabin fever by being in the apartment too much, and because it heightens the closeness between parent and child to share experience. So oftentimes when the child is in school, the outings don't take place. By the time they come home, they're hungry, they're tired, then it's late afternoon. This is a good time for outings. So the outings could include the other siblings, older and younger, which means that you have to plan more. it's helpful to arrange outings together with another mother. So I'm not talking about like huge, dramatic, I'm not talking about coast to coast. I'm talking about to the park for a picnic. It gives, the other mother will give you company, the children will play with each other, and the organizational side is sometimes easier. So where possible, have a friend who's also interested in a once-a-week outing and plan with her. Okay, so in order to, so the outing will have several phases. There's the preparation phase, the travel phase, and the what you do when you get there phase, and when and how to get home. All of this has to be planned. So you have to plan outings with your friend or by yourself in a way in which none of these are overwhelmingly difficult. So let's start with the picnic in the park style outing, which again, this will cover all of what I would call local adventures. Okay, this could even mean going out for pizza, but there's still some things that have to happen. The first is you have to decide what time of day is the best time to do this. So spontaneous decisions usually aren't that great. You don't want to be out when it's very hot. You don't want to be out when it gets cold and dark. You want to be aware of traffic patterns. Think of the right time. Consider that your children are of different ages, have different interests, different bedtimes. You don't want to go out at a time when some of the children will be getting crazy and cranky while the other children are first getting interested. So you have to, I would recommend, because of this, that either relatively early in the day outings, let's say it's leaving at 10 in the morning with the idea of having a noontime picnic, or considerably later after the younger children have a rest, outings. But I find things in between tend to be difficult. Okay, next, you and your friend plan how are you going to get there. So even if the place you're going is very near, there has to be a plan. In whose car, if you need a car, if you don't need a car or don't have a car, you could compare the rates of different taxi companies. If you're going to go by foot, is it uphill? Is it too hard? Think about it. Okay, what are you going to do when you get there? So this includes food, this includes games, this includes private time together with the kids. So with food, when you go on a picnic, I mean, I'm sure I don't have to tell you how to organize a picnic, but realize when you go with children, the food side has different dimensions than when you take adults. You take things that are easy to eat, things that they like, things that don't require preparation, and you take wipes so that they don't end up being walking Chilul Hashems by the time they finish their nash. Okay, you have to take food. Kids are like twice as hungry once they're outdoors. So you have to take nash for the way, like, you know, the 25-minute walk to the park. You have to take nash for the way. You have to take food for there. It's good to take a paper tablecloth. The wooden tables in park areas tend to be repulsive. It may even be good to take a plastic tablecloth just to put over the table. It doesn't have to be so aesthetic. Okay, so it's best to do the eating pretty early on. Okay, so this is for two reasons. One is that then you can get rid of the food. And another reason is that it gets the kids in a calmer state. So if it's an afternoon or a late afternoon sort of a trip, do the eating first. If it's a morning trip, then you do the snack first and save the meal, obviously, for later. What should the kids do? So you have to think of physical games that they could play that are safe to do. Ball, jump rope, all of those. You have to have different activities for different age kids. You have to talk to the other mother, if there's another mother, who brings what. So coming to the park, like, sort of spontaneously isn't a great idea. Okay, if you have older kids as well as younger kids, you may want to switch off for some of the time with the other mother if you have one there, and take some of your bigger kids into the woods with you and show them a little bit of nature. Explain to them how a tree works. They don't know this. When they see it, it's like amazing. You could show them how things grow, what an acorn is, what it does. Sometimes you could dig around and find earthworms, which are fascinating creatures. Okay, so you could take them out with you for 15, 20 minutes with the other mother watching the younger children, and then switch. What do the younger children be doing? So again, you have your plan. Okay, sometime during the time, you may want to tell stories, so you should have taken books with you. The best time for telling stories is after they had time to do a lot of running around and playing. When they're playing, it's best not to be overly structured. Let, you know, so if game sort of, if you have a game of tag and it's not, you know, the one who's counting didn't count exactly to 100 or whatever. Don't be too upset about it. The main thing is that they're having a good time. Your kids are probably not going to be world-class athletes when they grow up. It doesn't matter if whether the game of tag is played with expertise or the game of machanayim will prepare them for the professional league in soccer. If you have boys, they do like to play seriously, and let them. Okay, when do you go home? So for children this age, don't plan very long picnics. So even though you have a plan, so again, there's snacks, playing, dividing the children into groups, again, you and the other mother, coming back and having the meal, singing Birkat HaMazon, telling a story, still we're talking about around 2-3 hours, not more. You want the children to be reluctant to leave, not bored out of their minds so they don't want to go again next week. So 2 hours is fine. 3 hours is stretching it, but may work if there are a lot of children in the group. Okay, now you're going to be taking them home at this point. So obviously you're tired as well as they're tired. So you should have planned, I'm telling you this in the wrong place, to have dinner ready for your husband or for yourself and him before, so you don't have to get into the kitchen as soon as you come home. Okay, when you come home, if it's been an afternoon to you, you have to focus on bedtime, baths, etc. If it was a morning to you, okay, you're going to find yourself in a funny situation. The kids are fed, they're tired, but they're stimulated, so they won't want to go to sleep right away. So you have to have quiet games prepared for them. And again, possibly a story to give them some calm. Okay, so what's your goal in taking your kids out on this once-a-week tiyul for a picnic? Your goal is closeness, possibly some information, and the stories themselves, which could be carefully chosen, which could be inspiring and last them through the year. The Birkat HaMazon together could be inspiring and last them. Kids past a certain age don't want to do Birkat HaMazon out loud together and singing. That's okay, but kids this age will. Okay, other activities. So we have the picnic. Okay, creative things. Okay, so you want to go at some point to the craft store and buy creative things so that another day during the week you could do things that involve... This is a good age for basket weaving. Does anybody ever use these baskets? Personally, I don't know anyone who did. Do you personally know anybody who always dreamed of having a napkin holder made out of ice cream sticks? Personally, I do not. But making these items is fun, keeps them busy, and gives you contact with them in a structured way. So doing something creative once a week is a good thing to plan. And again, especially if you didn't have another mother with you when you went to the park, it may be good to have several mothers even together, get together and do creative things in alternative mothers' homes. This lets the kids socialize and it gives the mother some company and makes it easier. Another activity, okay, which is usually not so good with another family, you could find out about factory tours. Both in Israel and in America, the factories oftentimes welcome young visitors, and kids this age find them fascinating, and it doesn't cost money. Okay, another activity is swimming. Swimming is expensive in Israel. I don't know how it is in the States. It's often crowded, and is never easy on the mom. So realize, if you think, I want to go swimming, so I'll go swimming with my two kids... No, it's not necessarily going to be that way. You have to realize in your mind that you'll be there for them. Okay, so these are some things you could do during the week. You should have a time for getting up in the morning. There should be a time for davening. Getting up in the morning does not have to be early. I'm not talking about get up at the same time you get up for school. It could be late if the kids like sleeping in, but there should be a defined time where they're up. Getting up should be followed by getting dressed and davening. There should be some order. It gives the kids more security, and it makes it clear that davening happens. Okay, kids in the end don't like hanging around the house in pajamas all morning, even though they're resistant to getting dressed and davening. There should be meals. There should be breakfast. Okay, the kids should have some idea of what they could do after breakfast. So I presented you with some ideas, but you want to fill them in with other ideas. So there are games they play in the house, their toys, their board games, and their imagination games. So imagination games are important and good. So they don't have to be structured every moment, but you have to be there and on top of it to see that it doesn't lead to fighting. Okay. There should be a bedtime at some point. Bedtime doesn't have to be as early as it is during the year. They don't have to get up for school in the morning. But there should be some cutoff time at this year, again, because it gives them order and security. Your goal will be, through all of these activities also, to try to improve their socialization. So at the rate of sounding very negative, don't expect too much from the schools. Don't expect more than what they could do. You have to teach your kids middos. In the summer, enforcing things, giving real credit to good middos. That was so nice of you. You did, like, that was much more than I expected. Thank you so much. You have more opportunity to be on top of them in their middos development and in their self-expression. So this is what you're aiming for. So you want the end of the summer to have them looking better than they did at the beginning. Let's go on to children who are somewhat older. Children who are somewhat older, and in some families, even children who are 6 and 7, will do better in camp than they do at home. Okay, personally, I favor day camp over sleepaway camp. Even though my own experiences in sleepaway camp were good, marvelous, better than good. And the reason is that as one grows older and smarter, in all of the bunks I was counselor, and I was a counselor and a junior counselor many years, there was always a kid who the others zero in on. I wasn't that kid. And I usually wasn't the one who zeroed in on it. In fact, I could honestly say I never was the one who zeroed in on the other kid when I was a camper. But without fail, when I was a counselor, every single bunk had one. And it wasn't only my bunks. So this is part of kids' self-discovery. It's part of their development. But you don't want your kid to be the victim. And you don't want your kid to be the perpetrator. And the 17-year-old counselor with her 15-year-old junior counselor may not have the maturity to deal with it. So realize that this is part of the picture. The advantages of sleepaway camp, the planned activities, the role modeling of the counselors, which is wonderful, the night activities, which are so much fun and bond the kids, are good. But at the risk of sounding like a radical, and I hope I'm not making enemies in the camping business, the camps are expensive. Unless you could really afford it, see if you could find a day camp that will give you the exemplary counselors, the great activities, and the bonding without bankrupting yourself. It's something to consider. I'm not saying the camps are not worth it. I'm not saying they're dishonest. I'm not saying they're asking too much money. But what I am saying is that these are not easy times, and you should consider other solutions. Day camps are great. If there isn't an appropriate day camp where you live, or you can't afford a day camp, or a combination of both, where the day camp, as is in Israel, is only for 2 weeks, and that leaves you with only, with the girls, that is, another month and a half to contend yourself, So you have to be able to be your own day camp at this age. So something that my daughter, who's so talented and so smart, okay, in this regard. So if any of you know my dear daughter-in-law, Judith Heller, please tell her I said so. Got her kids to do constructive things during the day. Tasks in the house, helping her out with her own day camp that she runs. And at night, they had night activities that she remembered from her own camp days. Bonfires, stories, treasure hunts. So this is where you want to go. You want to go to a really planned day, doing constructive things, leading to a treat in the evening. So again, you have to have goals. So the fun isn't just for the sake of fun, although I like fun and I see nothing so terrible about fun for the sake of fun. But you have to look towards bonding, towards the kind of stories that lead to a higher level of Yirat Shemayim. If your kids are talented, and you have other kids, children of your friends, cousins, with whom they could do choirs, plays, they don't have to be so professional, but it is worth spending a little money on the props. They enjoy it enormously. Okay, all of these are possibilities. Let's talk about older kids, where the trouble really begins. Teenagers in unstructured time, or even late childhood children with unstructured time. This is not good. No, 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 no. So what I did personally with my own children, from when they were in late childhood, I didn't wait for their teens, is that I made them divide the summer into three segments. This is the girls. Again, the boys only had a three-week vacation, but this would be true for boys if they have long vacation as well. Part of the summer they had to devote to doing chasadim. Part of the summer they had to work and earn some money, and part of the summer was pure fun. So I would find them the chasadim to do, each child according to their abilities. So some children volunteered for places such as Zichron Menachem, Yad Eliezer, any of the places in which you have children volunteering to help other children. Those are the easiest chasadim. Sometimes it didn't work out. They have a lot of volunteers, sometimes not that many positions. So I would take them even to chasadim that require more adult supervision, helping people with large families in their homes, with the children, which means you have to know the family very well, delivering food to the elderly. So this would be their chesed segment. So their chesed segment would usually be from 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, which means that this is not an all-day thing, and you still have to plan the rest of the day with them, but it takes a lot of energy and it gives structure to the day. The second segment would be working for money. So with girls, this would be counseling in day camps, babysitting, sometimes with the older teens, sometimes working in stores of people who I know, helping them out with the inventory. One of my daughters had a job, it was such a marvelous summer job. A friend of mine had a health food restaurant, so she learned how to check whole rice. She learned a lot that summer. Now, again, you have to be on top of it, because not every work environment is a good work environment for kids to be in. So you have to research and sometimes even create the jobs. In desperation, I actually paid people to employ my children because it was good for them, which they didn't know about, of course, because it was wholesome for them to feel that they're working and earning money. The third part of the summer has to be fun. They earn the money. You can match their money. This is the time for kayaking. This is the time for first-class fun. So by making this division, they're busy. Sometimes you have kids who actually enjoy learning. So for boys especially, the yeshivas Ben Hazmanim and the camps that feature learning are a wonderful thing if they like it and they're willing to go to it. So in my neighborhood, for instance, my boys were great enthusiasts, even though they only get 3 weeks vacation of the yeshivas Ben Hazmanim, because they got paid for going. And there was a great tiul at the end. So if you could organize something like that in your area, realize that a little money speaks to kids, not just because of what the money buys them, but because of the feeling of importance that it gives them. So paying them to learn, so because they're the real Talmidei Chachamim and the world stands on, you know, whatever. Okay, paying for it and then giving them a tiyul, that's a good thing. So the main thing is that you have to stay on top of it. So if they're working, you have to be involved in finding the job. Don't leave it to them. If they're doing chasadim, you have to be on top of the chasadim. Don't leave it to them. If they're having fun, you have to know where they're going, with whom, etc. Don't leave it to them. But don't let them know that you're not leaving it to them. So you have to learn to be an artist at this point. You have to be able to be a hidden presence. So they don't have to know that you arranged for someone to hire them. They don't have to know that you looked into who will be there at the amusement area when they're there. They don't have to know any of this. The less they know about your involvement, the better it is. Okay, here are some problems that arise with mid-childhood children and older children and teens. Getting them to do what they really have to do could become a problem. Getting boys out of bed to daven could be a problem. There are boys who could sleep easily until 10:30 every day and miss every possible zman for anything. So it's easy to blame this on late nights, but it's not only the late nights. Teenagers do need a lot of sleep, and they want a break from the rigor and regimentation of their year. So I'm giving you several options. Here's one option. One option is actually making them responsible, meaning buying your kid an alarm clock, telling him to set it when he wants, he knows when the zmanim are, take care of it. This works a lot of the time. Okay, it doesn't help to wake them up. Having their own alarm clock takes you out of the picture, which especially with teenagers is very, very important. If it's a fancy alarm clock, and if it's a wristwatch with an alarm clock, you may have to play with this a little bit, invest more than you thought. But with a certain sort of kid, this will work. Another possibility is promising a reward, not on a daily basis, not like $5 a day, although I know somebody who did it and felt it was money well spent. But I would recommend it being like semi-weekly or weekly, not daily. But having them something, you know, okay, you're up 3 days in a row, pizza for supper, take three friends. Okay, you're up a whole week, you know, make it worth it. Okay, a third possibility, again, for the right kind of child, is talking to them honestly about why it's important. You don't have to do this for me. No one did this for me. No one wakes me up. The reason why there are times, look at the Gemara, what does it say in Brachot? It parallels it to the Avos. Be like Avram when he saw the day dawn. He saw it was a new day. Get up. See it. Do something in the day. If you have a kid who's sensitive enough and intelligent enough, okay, and especially if he's old enough to look into the Gemara with you, where you could actually show him that it says it there. So it's not you doing the talking, it's the Gemara doing the talking. Especially if you could show them, with teenagers, if you could have them look up in Mesilas Yesharim, or in any of the svarim that you would find inspiring, anything about Avodas HaAvos, you can get them to do it for the right reasons. So even though the other strategies that I told you are real and will work for some kids, if you have a kid who there's any sequoia at all will work for the right reason, go for it. There are some kids for whom nothing will work. So at that point, what you're observing is subconscious rebellion. Now, when there's subconscious rebellion, it usually is going to spill over into many areas. The question is this where you want to have your battle? So my advice would be no. Don't make this your place of battle. If the child is there, if they're in subconscious rebellion, certainly if they're in conscious rebellion, but if they're in subconscious rebellion and they want to show you, or they want to show the world, or they want to, I just want to do what I want to do, you know. If you could wake them up so their eyes are open and they wash their hands and say Shema and then turn over, that's not the end of the world. Okay, this is not where your battle should be. Okay, so this is, so I've given you four different options about the getting up problem. Another problem that people face is the proper dress problem. This is a problem with boys and certainly a problem with girls. So, again, planning helps. At the beginning of the summer, taking the girls on a shopping trip, saying, hey, let's buy some summer things, some real nice casual things. Where do you want to go? How much could we spend? Let's make it fun. Let's go out for coffee afterwards. So that at that point, they're going to be picking what's good, works. Unless, again, if they're in open rebellion, it's a whole other story. But if things are reasonably good during the year, having them pick some clothes for casual wear will prevent you from later noticing that what they're wearing isn't beseder. Okay, there's a relaxation of standard. Girls who are careful with how they sit, how they dress in the house during the year, sometimes let everything go during the summer. You have to remind them. You have to remind them that Hashem is there wherever you go, that the way He sees you and rewards you when it's fall is the way He sees you and rewards you in the summer. Now, in terms of taking girls to the beach, the beaches are difficult because there are male lifeguards, and there's also the Ethiopian fellow who's selling, who's renting rather chairs, and the guy who's selling ice cream. So even if you want to argue that the lifeguard is torud b'malachto, he's busy thinking only about water safety, it's a tough case to make with the others. So there are today in Israel, and I assume in the States, in fact I was told in the States also, tsanua bathing suits. They're made out of bathing suit material, and they have, like, they're like leotards. They have arms, they have legs, and they have a skirt. But the skirt hangs from the top and is fairly tight, so it doesn't ride up. It doesn't carry a lot of water with it, but it's modest. So I would recommend that, or the good old-fashioned cover robes that people use all the time in Israel, which are certainly cheaper than the tzanua bathing suits. But they're hard to swim in, and the tzanua bathing suits are not. And the tzanua bathing suits, which are available in Yerushalayim and in Tzfat, are marvelous. They're truly tzanua. You could really swim in them. I like swimming. You could really swim in them. And it's a good buy. It's worth buying for your daughters. It's worth buying for yourself. It's tricky. You know, they have organized trips to the beach in Israel for girls. Know who's running it, know who your daughter's going with, and know what time they'll get home. So sometimes they're run by 14-year-olds. I'm not talking about Yiddishkeit issues, I'm talking about very basic safety issues. So just find out beforehand. In the States, I would imagine, I don't know, I haven't lived there in many years, where there are no kosher beaches as far as I know, there are the swimming places. So again, you have to find out about what there is, but swimming is great, but could be problematic unless you check out the tznius beforehand, before your daughter already wants to go, before she's involved. You check it out. It's on you. You're the mother. Okay, with boys' dress, sometimes boys, just out of laziness and casualness, don't dress like even, you know, they wear very little, let's leave it at that. So if your kid is like, you know, if normally he goes to davening with a hat and a jacket, you have to have some level during the summer. So you could relax things a little bit, but remember, he's the same kid he was all year. So inspiring him with talking about the kavod of tefillah may work. Okay? Last thing with teenagers in the summer. You can't watch them all of the time. they don't want you to watch them all of the time, and it's not healthy for you to watch them all of the time. So the values that you inculcated to them when they were young are the values that are going to stand for you in the summer. If you give them enough to do, and you talk to them every so often, not every day, but every so often, about where they want to be and who they really are and how certain they are of their identity and how they could affect people well, that helps. So with that, have a great summer. Have a good time with them. Enjoy them. Kids are great.